Well, I'd appreciate your prayers again today. I heard something a couple days ago that caught my attention. It was the results of a study or a poll that had been taken about the morals of our country. And from 2000 to 2015, 15 years, there has been a drastic change in the way people look at the morals. Issues like abortion, it's on uptick. People believe it's okay more than they used to. The question was asked about marriage and the idea of living together. It was drastically up that it's okay. Same-sex marriage was drastically changed in the last 15 years. Drug use and whether it should be legalized, way up. All these issues that that are out there that we think about and we look and see and is important to us, people's minds are changing. As older people are passing off and younger people coming on and asking them, there's a drastic change. In only 15 years, if it's changed that, I only can think about what it'd be as time goes on, more and more. And you may say, what difference does it make? Do you think it makes a difference? I think it makes a huge difference. I can say that I think everyone would agree with me that our country, our world, is in trouble. I think we can see that trouble. What do you think's the result? What would life be if God would totally today remove his influence? I say in the moral sense, because if God removed his total presence, I think everything would totally collapse. It'd be the end. But if God was to remove his spirit from the influence of the, what would it be today? What would we have if God wasn't influencing anything? What is it? What is the removal of God going to do? Also along this study is the fact that along with it, the progression is also the denying of God. People are becoming more atheists as they become less moral. Well, that's obvious, I think. Because as you assume God, you assume who God is and what God does and what God thinks. So if I recognize and say in some form or another there is a God, the immediate reaction to that is, what does God want? How does God look at it? And even though I may not be a moral person, I would have to conclude that there is moral things that make a difference in people's lives. I think that's where we go. So if we remove God, this is the question today, if we remove God, whether from a general sense or individual sense, will it make a difference? I would have to conclude today that it's going to make a major difference to our society and to us individual as we remove the influence of God. As we say, I really don't want God's ways. I don't even want to believe there is a God. I don't want to accept that idea. More and more, people are denying the idea of God. And it will have an effect in our lives. You remember several years ago, there was a big news event that happened in Columbine. I believe that's Colorado. There was a shooting where a couple of the students, something happened. Something happened, and that's not normal. That's not right for a young person to get to the place and to feel what they must have felt and thought and all this. Do you know that it was said that one of them had a t-shirt on that was was suggestive of natural selection and the idea that there's no God. These young people was saying there's no God. Why would I feel and think the way if there's no God? Well, I want to tell you, folks, as we lose God out of our society, we're going to lose all that God stands for and is. And it's obvious that that is going to happen in the society we have, but it's also going to happen to me individually if I lose God out of my life. Something's got to happen. There has to be a major difference in things with God or without it. And we see it more and more in our country. As God is being eliminated, as more and more, we're going to see more and more results of not having God. So turn with me, if you will, scripture in 23rd chapter of Matthew. In the 37th verse. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as hens gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You know, God, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the very seat and heart of the nation, of a people that had a long history of God, of God's motions, God's movings, God's dealings, God's miracles, God's love, God's deliverance. They had a long history of God. And do you think that God really, I mean, God had a notion or a way that he didn't want to bless them for some reason or another? No, of course not. God's heart and mind towards them was of compassion and love and deliverance and mercies, and God wanted good things to them. But oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, how often would I have, did he? That statement isn't that I did, but how often would I have? How many times did I want to throw my wings over you? How often have I wanted to protect you against the things that was coming on? I may say this, if we could open up our thinking a little bit, and God loving us and wanting good things into our lives, I wonder if it could be said that the Lord could have said, how often would I have liked to have shielded you against that economic disaster? How often would I have liked to shielded you against you sending your young men to war and fight on foreign lands? How often would I have liked to kept you from epidemics of cancer and epidemics of AIDS and epidemics of diseases across? How often would I have liked to have been God to you? But you wouldn't. There has to be a place for us in this. What do I have of God? I'm not talking about the individual at this. I'm talking about a collective body of people that's more and more saying, we don't want God. These people got to that point. They said, God, the Lord said, I wanted to gather you together. I wanted to be God. I wanted to protect you. I didn't want you to get in this spiritual place that you're in. I didn't want you to come to this kind of a place. But everything that I tried to do, when I would, you wouldn't. And do you know that this is not just to say that Jesus says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But he's saying this is the natural results when you would not. I wanted to defend you against that, but I can't. Because there's places, you know, the Lord even said that there was things, the scripture teaches us that there was things that the Lord, miracles that the Lord wanted to perform that he couldn't perform because of their unbelief. There's a limit, and he talks about limiting the Holy One of Israel. There's a way that you and I can limit what God's heart is and what he wants to do for us in life. So how often would I have gathered you together? How often I wanted to bless? How often I wanted to protect? And then this verse is what I want to think about today. It says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The desolation of the house isn't just that the Lord goes and decides and says, I'm sending desolation. Desolation as a result of the removing of God. Jesus actually, this is the point in history where Jesus looks over Jerusalem and over the Jewish nation and says, I will leave you alone. I wanted to gather, I wanted to work. But as a nation, I'm going to leave you alone. Jesus didn't send desolation. He simply stopped what he's doing. Do you know that what God don't feel, Satan will? It's a truth. What God doesn't feel, Satan will. When God removes himself from anything, there's only humanity and Satan left to do with what they will. Can you defend yourself against Satan when the Lord pulls himself away from you? You remember the scripture where Jesus goes to the land of the Gadarenes? You know, there's something really interesting about this scripture. Land of the Gadarenes. And Jesus goes there, and there was a man there that had a legion of spirits. Now, that's incredible. What you know? I'm legion, for there is many. And you know, there was something very interesting in this. And I didn't say I can get to the end of it, but it raises such questions in my mind. Because Jesus is about to, he's got a total authority, obviously, over them. Total authority. And so when he speaks, they've got to obey. It's still that way today. The Lord has total authority. And he's going to say, you cast out. Well, they said, don't cast us out of the land. But allow us to go into this herd of swine. I think this is very interesting because obviously they didn't have the capability because of God to just possess animals. You know, the animals around here is not possessed that I notice. I see some horses out here and some things. And, of course, the dogs kind of act mean out at the end of the road. They bark and snarl. But that's just dog nature. That's not the devil. Who ain't in the horses. There's some hogs there, and they're getting along just doing what hogs was created to do. And these spirits ask the Lord if we can go in there because they can't go if he don't tell them they can. And the Lord says, I bid you, go. Then they have total reactions in these hogs of what the devil would like to do to every one of us. And what the devil will do to our society when the Lord says, if you don't want me and reject me and I draw back from you and leave you to yourself, this is what you're going to see. No matter how much we learn about psychology or how much we learn about human nature or whatever we do about and learn about the mind or whatever drug we come up with to take care of the chemicals of the mind, I'm going to tell you today and prophesy to you, when God pulls back from it, there's going to be animalistic behaviors. There's going to be satanic behaviors. There's going to be the desire to destroy one another. That's what the boys did at Columbine. That's what the shootings is. That's what goes on in the world when people, they'll lose their respect for authority. You see any of that today? They'll lose their because there will be a behavior. When these spirits went into those hogs run, they drove them mad and run them into the sea and they drowned themselves, which was is exactly what the devil will do to every one of us if he can. He will destroy us. So our house, he says, your house is left to you by the very mechanics of it, the very way it's got to work. When I say, you don't want me, I've tried, I went to the limit. And now the only thing left for me to say to you is that I'll leave you alone. What a curse. There is no stronger curse in the scriptures than for the Lord to say, I'm done with you. It would be better that he say like he did to David, you got a punishment coming, what do you want it to be? That's mercy of God. I'll chew something. I'll have a way. You know that getting a disease isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Having a deathbed experience isn't the worst thing that can happen to you. Being in some kind of trouble or persecution or some deep trouble isn't the worst thing that can happen to us. Many times it's a good thing that happens to us. What's the worst thing to happen to us is when we get to the point that we've rejected God, to the point that God says, have it your way. Because the only thing that can happen after that is desolation. It's the results of losing God. Desolation means, of course, to be desolate. Destitute or deprived of inhabitants. It's a desert, uninhabitable, laid waste and ruinous. Solitary, lonely, without companion. Deserted of God. A place where nothing can live. What God doesn't feel, Satan does. And it becomes desolate to the soul. Oh, Jerusalem didn't, from the time of these words, it wasn't magic. It wasn't a curse that come over the land. It wasn't an instantaneous happens from the time that Jesus withdrew here that all of a sudden you couldn't live there because nothing could grow and you couldn't breathe or whatever it was. There become a process of time from God moving back. His hand went off of it till now Jesus isn't telling, no, Romans, you're going to stay out of here until time's fulfilled. No. You're not going to have, no, the devil, you can't get in there and do that. No, there's a limitation to this. This is people that I'm caring and loving about. He withdrew and the motion started happening until this city ends up being totally laid waste. Because he took his hands off of it. I fear that I see a nation going in a way, in a direction. The scripture says the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. I fear for our nation. But I have a fear that's stronger than just for our nation. It's for my soul. It's for our souls. That we don't reject the workings of God. That those that are here that have, that you have an understanding here, that there may be a time that the Lord lets you have what you want. Regardless of His workings, He may say to you, instead of Old Jerusalem, it might be, Oh Marty, Oh Marty. How often? How many blessings? How much I wanted to work with you. But you would not. And so from now on, your house is left unto you desolate. That you by your own strength and fortitude got to find your own happiness and blessings. And you've got to fight the devil and all the world to try to get it. And you've got to do against your own mind and the sanity of your own mind. You're going to have to come up with every good thing by yourself. Oh, Lord, help me here. I found myself so insignificant, so incapable to be able to do anything like that. But your house, he says, is left unto you desolate. There was a man in the scriptures. You want to look at it all over in 1 Samuel. You'll remember the story. We won't take time to read all of this, but there came a time that the Lord came to Samuel the prophet and told him, said, I remember the sins of the Amalekites, I believe it was, and how they had dealt with God's people. Come time for judgment. So go tell King Saul that I want him to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. Utterly means utterly. I want you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. There's a lot of symbolism, I believe, in the Old Testament. There was a reason that you utterly destroyed. There was a reason in the Old Testament that they took a family and stoned them. a sinner they took, or somebody that done it. And they not only took the guy that done it, but they took the whole family, servants, cattle, everything. Sometimes he destroyed them all. There's a symbolic reason for that. It's really to say that God's tolerance for evil and wrong is zero. And it's also to suggest to us that if we don't take care of the rudiments of problems, they'll surface back on us again. That they'll come back again. Well, the Lord said that the time had come, and now it's time for you to exact an utter destruction upon them. That we don't, the Lord did not want there to be a memory of them or anything left to hinder or affect. So utterly destroy them. God has his reasons. So go tell Saul that. I'm amazed to think that Saul did it somewhat. But it's 99%. Really, he gets up an army. That's not easy, especially in their day. You know, it takes food and water. It also takes organization, which means you would have to have a commander, and you'd have to have sub-commanders. You'd have to have in ranks down, because the only way to have order of that kind of sort, to do something like that, would that be in rank and file and have order to it. That you, one man can say to all men, well, one man can't speak loud enough to tell 100 and so many thousand. You got to have order to it. And it took a lot to do that. It took provisions. It took weaponry. It took a lot to do what he was going to do. Travel wasn't easy. They didn't go in planes. They didn't go in ships. They marched. It took days and days to do. It took time to do it. It was a great adventure to go do that. And he did it. Well, why didn't he do it all? He didn't do it. The real reason what Saul got in trouble with, Saul got too big for himself. And he got to the place that I don't care what God wants. That's really where he got. He got to the place that I'm big enough to do my thing myself. And so he does part of it. And he goes down there. And you know the story. They ended up bringing back some cattle or some livestock that they thought was good. And you know, honestly, breeders that would look at this and say, oh, this is quality stuff here. We get that up there and put some of these genes into some of them. We can have bigger stuff and better stuff. But the Lord said no. And God got his reason for it. He might have destroyed all their stuff if it had done that. God knows what's inside all that stuff. And they also brought the king back. You know why they brought the king back? It's called bragging rights. Remember when they got Samson? They took Samson and said, now our gods delivered Samson to us, so our gods is bigger than Samson's God, and here's proof of it, and let's get him and walk him around, and we'll make sport of him and show the people how much better our God is than their gods, and those kind of things. So you bring him back so you can say, look what we've done. We went down there and conquered, and now we got the king, and we'll parade him around, we'll have some fun with him, and we'll show off our might and our superiority, and we can do that. But the Lord told him, no, I don't want you doing that. I want you to utterly destroy him. And so that's the setting of this. He didn't do it. But when the man of God comes to him and says, he right off says, I've done the will of God. But the man of God says, if you did, well, then what's the lowing of the oxen, the bleeding of the sheep? What's that all mean? Well, I done the will of God, but I done it my way. I done the will of God, but I brought back the people. Well, you're king. When a king says go, you go. And when he says come, you come. And if he wants to take your head off, he does. Saul can't get by with that. Saul rejected the word of God. Folks, it's going to cost you. Lord, help us all. It's going to cost us to reject the word of God. It's going to reject us to... It's going to cost us if we reject any counsel of the Word of God that we have come to the place to be responsible for. So this is the setting. Saul keeps the king alive. The prophet comes and he, no, you didn't. Remember, he takes his sword and he cuts the king in pieces. Here's the setting of this, and it's in the 14th verse. He says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see? It's automatic. The Spirit of the Lord and the spirit of an evil spirit's not going to be there together. So the Spirit of the Lord that was there to help Saul, to encourage him, to bless him, to give him instructions, to do all that, to be king. He was anointed king. All these things that God was doing for him, there come a time that it says that the Spirit of the Lord left him here. Okay, you've done it. We've dealt with you. We've worked with you. All the mercy we've had on you, all the things that we've shown you, the ones we've put in your life to help, all the things, and now you're rejecting the very Word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord leaves, and at the simultaneously, guess what? Folks, it has to happen. It's our world around us. The more they take on evil ways, the more they reject the counsel of the Lord, the more they do it, the automatic is that something's going to feel that. All the same time, something's going to feel it. And there's going to be motions from it. And there's going to be reactions from it. And things are going to happen because of it. It can't help from being that way. And it can't help from being that way in your life today. If you're here today and you've rejected the Lord and rejected the dealings with His Spirit, and the Lord is merciful and He goes on and He'll deal again and again. But there'll come a time to where He won't. And then what's left? What's left? That space, what's left? Do you know there is, God does rule yet. And there's boundaries put against the devil. He can't just come in and drive us into the sea. He would if he could. But you know there's been people that have rejected the Lord and lived a life in such a way that the Lord withdrew himself from them. That special hand that was on them. It comes to the time where, like the Lord looked over Jerusalem and said, I will bother you no more. My dealing, you've made your choice. And I will respect that choice. But we've got to be warned today that the choice isn't just to neglect the Lord. There's a default set on this one. The default is that there is one that's going to master you. And the results of it is incredible. Why is there such rampant change of the societal opinion about right and wrong right now? The more they say no God, the more the thinking changes. The more the master of this world changes the thinking. The more that it doesn't matter about that innocent life in the womb. Not even thinking. The more that people don't care. One of the things said it was about cloning. All of us cringe, I think, at that. I think we're stepping into a place that we don't belong. I feel that about cloning. Oh, if you want to clone a sheep, I can wink at that maybe. But when you start cloning human parts and start cloning human beings and going into that kind of thing and taking the stem cells of unborn babies and using that as studies and doing that kind of stuff, I think you go into a realm that you don't belong. And there has been a lot that thought that, but it's changing. More and more people are saying that doesn't matter. We'd be derelict to humanity if we don't try to do it. And the more it changes, the more the heart changes, the more the mind changes. As God pulls back, the more I want to be God to you. I want to be able to bless your soul as I bless your body. I want you to be able to make my heaven. But at the same time, humanity's making gods to themselves, but they're having to live with the consequences of their own godship. Lord, help us. Because this is the results of going away from God. In 15 and 26 of this story of Samuel, it says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. You rejected, automatically there will be a rejection of the Lord. Over in Judges 16th chapter, there's another story. There's a man that done it a little bit different in this story. 16th chapter. This was the story of the great strong man, Samson. I always had pictures in my mind from a little boy that he was one of these bodybuilding looking guys. Well, the scriptures doesn't say that he was. He He probably was a normal man. It would have been much more impressive, actually, if he was a little old skinny guy. That, but the scripture don't say that anyway, so I'll say he was probably just a normal guy. And the Spirit of the Lord, he had a what they call it? He had an oath on him. He had it was a Nazarite. Things that he was given to the Lord and a covenant between God and Samson. You do this, and it wasn't just the hair, but there was other things of staying away from strong drink and different things that he couldn't do. And God was with him. And there was times that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him when he needed to do something, when it was necessary to do something, the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. And oh, what he could do. He killed 1,000 men with a bone of a donkey's jaw. That's pretty good for one man to do that. That's outstanding. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and gave him the strength and power. And he was untouchable. And how often would I have gathered you together as a hen with her chickens, but you would not. But Samson was there, and the Spirit of the Lord had come on him. He'd do amazing things. He went and pulled the city gate. Well, as a young guy, I was always impressed with that too. I always thought, boy, I'd like to pull the city gate off. Boy, somebody just go. The Spirit of the Lord came on him and he got the whole gate and packed it off. You all want to be ornery to me? I'll show you something. I'll take your gate away. Let your enemies in. Let anybody out. I packed it off, took it up on the hill. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he had power and ability. Well, again, there's some symbolism in this, folks. We really don't need to. I don't need the ability to pull your all's metal doors off and take them out in the yard to show you anything. But I do need the ability to open up things sometimes. I do need something more than I've got to be able to close it back again. I need something I don't have. And I needed the Spirit of the Lord to be with me to help me to do things in my own life. Close off that. I've got something that the devil would like to bother me with, and we shut the door off of it. Or the devil's trying to lock me up into some kind of a place that makes me in bondage, and the Lord will tear the gate off and let me go. And there's symbolism in all this. But this guy had the Lord with him. But folks, he didn't just have a conscious decision. I don't like that. That wasn't his problem. He started playing with things he didn't need to play with. He got himself messing with people that he shouldn't have been messing with, and he was indifferent about what God had given him. He should have coveted what God had done for him more than everything else. He shouldn't have played lightly with it. In a sense, he despised it. If you get the terminology, biblical terminology, it wasn't that he sat around with a bad feeling about it. He despised it, and he didn't make it valuable to him. There is when we'll say to one another, well, I appreciate you. Well, there's appreciate and depreciate. One means I put value, the other means I lessen value. And depreciating his gift is what he done. He did not honor it the way he should have. And because of it, he starts getting in trouble, and he gets with a woman that was of a Philistine background, and he loved her, named Delilah. And he loved Delilah, he's toying with her, and he's playing around with this, and she wants to know the gift and why, how he can have such strength. And he starts, and you can read it. He says one thing and then another, and he's laughing and mocking, and she's saying and using her womanly ways to do it. And you say, you love me. If you really loved me, you wouldn't toy with me like this. You say you love me and you won't even share the deep part of your heart. What do you do when you love somebody? You share the deepest things in life with them, right? That's what you're doing. You're saying you love me and care for me, but you won't divulge your secrets. You won't really get down to your heart. I want a real relationship here, Samson. I want to know what... She's deceiving him, of course. You know, there's things more important than those kind of relationships. The first thing we've got to covet is our relationship with the Lord and what he's done for me. I can let people move me in a lot of different ways, but not against the Lord. I have nothing left then. And if I lose that, I'm nobody to live with anyway. And Samson had the Lord with him. But there comes a time that he broke down. And it says that he told her all his heart. He told her the truth about it. And then again, she uses her ways. And here it is, 20th verse. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of the sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. See, she got Samson to lay and go to sleep in her lap. And she cut his hair off. That was the story. And so now she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord. I ain't afraid of Philistines. I ain't afraid of the devil. Greater is he is in me than in the world. I've conquered. I've had victories. Oh, yeah, sure. Come back from the last trip and come back to the congregation. I had to testify to them. I want to testify to you. I come back. We've had some battles. I'm bloody. I'm bruised. I'm dirty. I'm muddy. But I'm still saved. I'd like to say I can come through that without a scratch. I come without that, without even, with such victory on me. But there wasn't. I really had to fight and lay, but I'm still saved. Got victory. Sometimes it's not with me. But Samson had victories. He knew what it was to have the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. I am not afraid of Philistines. Because the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, defends me against all that they want to do. I know what they want to do to me. They want to humiliate me. They want to run me down. They want to take away my vision. They want to blind me and they want to hurt. I know what the enemy wants to do with me. I want to tell you, the enemy today wants to blind you. The enemy today wants to run you into the sea and kill you. He wants to make you totally desolate of anything good, of righteousness. That's what desolation is. That's what was left them to desolate. They had no ability to contact God. They had no ability to rise above themselves. They had no ability to get grace. They had no ability to be better than they could be. They had no ability anymore. They was desolate in their souls. The only thing they could think of was bad things. And there was a time in history where mankind got to the place that the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And they did it from rejecting the Lord. And there was nothing they could do but go their own way. And now here's Samson and he gets to this place and he's ready to rise up and do it like he had always done it before and have the blessing on his life. And folks, our nation once had a blessing on it, I believe, and it's losing that blessing. I believe I've known many, many from songwriters in our book that was anointed and blessed and had the power of God on them. They rejected God and what happened? Desolation. They become desolate in their soul till no righteousness could grow there. Nothing could be there. You couldn't get along. They was miserable and, oh, Lord, help us. What would happen to you and I? Is it so inconceivable? I've lived a while for the Lord now. Is it inconceivable that men that were smarter, better, more able, with stronger giftings than I've ever had, fail and become desolate? Can I say I won't? I need help from the Lord. The realization is if I start backing off from the Lord, I'm going to start getting desolate. I don't know how I feel altogether about the idea of saying when they took prayer out of school, it's been a big thing that's been talked about a lot. I don't know how comfortable I would be with just everybody out there that claims religion praying with my children, but I'm going to tell you, there is a thought in there that is lost, and it is the idea that there's God. There's God. When I was a little boy, to this day, if I see one of my teachers, you know how I refer to him? Mister. Because I saw them as, that was somebody that I had respect for. You was taught respect for him. And do you know when somebody under that position says to you, make sure that you pray? Or maybe we could have a word of prayer. It will go with you all your life. We're seeing a generation of people, they're taking studies now, and the studies is that morality's leaving. And the idea of God's gone. And maybe it was just a lot because the simple idea that you can't do that anymore is being able to affect the land around us. Samson had it, folks, in a large measure. And it says that he said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Because that's all he had to do, shake himself, and he shook him off. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even know when it happened. He wakes up and all of a sudden finds himself expecting to have the strength of the divine. And he found himself a mere desolate human being. Left of God. Nothing left. The enemy easily subdued him. It says nothing that he whooped one of them. He was desolate. They took him and done their will to him. And think of this, the mighty strong man. Desolate of strength and the ability to defend himself. They took him and the first thing they did was put his eyes out. Now he's blinded. Irreversibly. Burn him out. You know why they did that. So he couldn't torment him ever again. There's no escape now. There was a story in history of two kingdoms. This is a true story. Two kingdoms that fought one another. It was against each other for quite a long time. Finally, there was a great military victory by one of the kingdoms. And the very shrewd commander of the kingdom has all of these prisoners, 100,000 or so prisoners of this other nation. Well, what are you going to do with them? You going to feed them, keep them? No, that would bankrupt us, he thinks. I know what I'll do. He blinded all those thousands of men. He blinded them all. Except for every 100th man, he left them one eye. So that they could lead the other 100 back to their own nation and be a liability to them all their life. You imagine 100,000 comes back to the kingdom blinded. And now you got to feed them and take care of them, and he sent them back that way. And that was quite a thing to do. They were desolate. That's getting into the realms of desolation. My desire today is that we'd understand something very fully. It's God that makes the difference. And when we do away with God in our lives, whether you've had him or you've refused to have him, there's only one alternative. And the alternative by the scriptures is desolation. We will become desolate in this life. We'll be desolate in the ability to function with others many times. We'll be desolate. You know, it's better off, a lot better off in many cases, to have never have known. God has mercy. And God leaves a restriction many times there. But for us that's known, you know, it's terribly dangerous. To have all of that knowledge and understanding and of having the Lord's touch, I have had the Lord, not of me. But because of what the Lord done, I've had God work through me miracles. I've had the Lord heal people. I've had the Lord touch people. I've had the Lord touch my body, my children's body. I've seen God first-handed be able to work in a ministry, to be able to talk. I've seen it. I know what it is. I'm responsible. I'm responsible to that. And for me to walk away from that and say, Lord, I don't want that, which was so rich, so beautiful, so great in my life, I believe would bring a great curse of desolation on my life. There'd be a time that the Lord's going to remove himself from those that say, we don't want you here. You know, that's what they did in the, if you remember, that's what they did in the land of the Gadarenes. The swine herders lost their herds. And they saw this man as the one that done it. You think of this. Would you want Jesus to come to your land? Jesus was a blessing to the land of the Gadarenes. No man there could even tame this guy that was there. And Jesus come with such hope. I can loose this guy. I can set this guy free. I can set you free. I can set you free. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ. Then why are they all rejecting him so much? Because you're hinds, you're swine herders. That's the bottom line. People are swine. They want their flesh. They want what they want beyond the blessings of the Lord. And in the land of the Gadarenes, they come and told him, we want you to depart. We want you to leave. You know what he did? He left. Let that be the end of this message today. They said, go. And he left. Lord, help us today. You pray for me.